Okay, the first one is for Brian Padilla, who was in the hospital with some serious issues concerning his heart. And then we need to pray for a man who had to have cancer removed from his nose, which also required plastic surgery to repair the area on his nose. And we'd like to continue to pray for Luana Roark, who had a mass removed from her brain last week. Pray that the test results will be negative and that she will have a speedy recovery, and also for the pain. She's still in a lot of pain.
Okay. And I had one more that just came in to pray for Sherry Hensley. We've prayed for her in the past. She's having some complications with the treatment that she's taking for the cancer.
Okay.
And then Rita Hughes is having some complications prior to surgery.
Okay.
So I'll jot those names down for you.
Sherry Hensley?
Mm-hmm.
Let's pray for her first.
Okay.
Okay. Father God, we just come to you for Sherry today. Lord, we know that she has been on our list multiple times, and Lord, we continue to lift her up, and we continually bring her name before you. We pray, Lord, that you would reach down and touch her this very moment. Lord, as she reaches up to touch you, let the hem of your garment float past her and stop this issue. Lord, let divine healing flow from you to her now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
And Rita Hughes was supposed to have some platelet infusion prior to surgery, which was supposed to be yesterday, but she's had some complications of some sort.
Her name is Rita?
Rita Hughes.
Rita Hughes. Let's pray for Rita. Father God, I bring Rita to you right now. I plead the blood of Jesus right now to flow through her blood so that the platelets would line up in the way that they should. Lord, I pray for Rita that you would just move within her and to her right now, Lord, and ever comfort her and be there for her and let her feel your presence right now, Lord. As she goes into surgery, I pray that you calm her heart down, calm her spirit down. Lord, let her feel the rest as she yokes together with you, and let her know that you will not leave her, but you will be by her. Father, I pray for Brian Padilla, who's in the hospital with serious issues concerning his heart right now. Lord, we just pray that you would re-again, as David said, create in him a new heart. Lord, we're not taking that out of context. We're just asking for your favor for that, because we know that you are the great physician in all things, and touch and heal them. And Father, I pray for this man today that has had cancer, and he's had some facial extremities removed. And I just pray, Lord, that you would just touch him and bless him and let the plastic surgery go well. Father, I pray that you would keep the confidence inside of him. Oh God, let him know that you are still there with him at all times. Be with him in his spirit, I pray. And Father, I pray for Luana Roark, Lord, that you would encourage her today, Lord, not to give up. Encourage her to stand strong. Encourage her that she is not alone. And Lord, I pray for the cancer, that the reports are coming out about cancer. That cancer must go into remission. You shed your blood that our blood would be for remission. Our sin goes into remission. Let that cancer go into remission right now. It cannot move forward. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And amen.
Amen. Before we go to our sponsors, I'd like to share this with you. The Link and Titus II Ministries is having a women's conference. It will begin Friday evening, the 14th, and go on through Saturday. There is no cost to go to this. The doors are going to open at 5 o'clock Friday evening, and services begin at 6:30. And then on Saturday, the doors will open at 9. Services will be at 10:30 and again at 2. And here's what their heart is about, that they just want to encourage people from the area, all the denominations, to come together and to worship God in unity. So this is just an opportunity to get your cup filled and pour back into your home church.
Amen.
And so mark those dates on your calendar, this Friday evening and this Saturday at the Link Church, which is downtown Elk City, right on Main Street in the corner of, what, 5th and Main? So, you know, I look at that building, Kevin, and I just am awestruck about the fact it was a broke down, dilapidated, should have been torn down, looked like from the outside building that was a car dealership at one time.
Yeah.
And they've made this gorgeous, beautiful, fabulous.
Inside and out.
Right.
Inside and out. Yes.
Apostle Casey Elliott is the Apostle for Prophetic Voice Ministries at 616 North Locust Avenue here in Elk City. And they have services on Sunday morning, Sunday school at 9:30, church at 11, church again at 6 o'clock. And the Refuge Church, 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, is another one of our sponsors. They are now having church in the new Liberty Church building, which that's the new address for that. Pastor Tammy Bailey is the pastor there. If you need more information, give her a call at 729-0956. They have Sunday school at 10, Sunday worship at 10:45, Sunday evening at 6, Wednesday Bible study at 7, and then they have a youth group at 7 also. Gateway Church, one of our new sponsors. In fact, they're a Facebook sponsor today. They're at 4772 West 3rd Street in Elk City. That's just a half mile past Tractor Supply. Chasten and Brooklyn Music are the pastors. And they would love for anyone to come just as you are and join them for their worship service. You can follow them on Facebook at Gateway Church Elk City or YouTube. Welcome to Gateway Church. Their service times are 9:45 for Sunday school. They call it Bible engagement. I'm old. I still call it Sunday school. Morning worship, 10:30. Spanish service at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Evening worship on Sundays at 6, and then Wednesday night Bible study at 7. If you need more information, you can call them at 225-4646. Now let's hear from some of our other sponsors.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, catalog items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines establish the boundaries of your life. They don't determine where you go, but they do determine where you end up. They help you slow down when everything else says speed up. They help you think before you say. There are no shortcuts to real success. Guidelines help to navigate you from where you are to where you want to be. Boundaries don't limit you, they protect you.
From all of us here at PK & Company, great job, Barbara Dyson Ford, on your 5th President's Award. Thank you for your loyalty to our community.
This is Curtis Hutchinson. All of us here at Hutchinson Oil congratulate Barbara Dyson on your 5th President's Award. You deserve it.
Chad Smith here with Smith Ag. Congrats to Barbara Dyson on your 5th President's Award for your amazing customer service.
We want to thank all of you, our customers, as we celebrate this prestigious award. Come experience the difference at Barbara Dyson Ford and check us out at BarbaraDysonFord.net.
This is the Hour of Power. Our guest today, Kevin Akins, bringing us a great lesson on how to be a powerful person. So we'll just let you get back in.
Amen. Amen. It's so good to be here today, by the way. I'm honored to be able to come and to do this for you. And so let's look back at this once again. We're talking about being a powerful person. We're using the example of Mordecai from Esther chapter 10. Chapter 10 is only 3 verses long, and all it does is highlight Mordecai. It's like the end of, it's not the end of his life, but it's just the end of that chapter. It's the end of that story, and they just highlight that one man being very powerful. So we use his example, and we found, first of all, that to be a powerful person, we need to be a person of servanthood. And then the last one that we were talking about, to be a powerful person, we need to be a person of faith. And a person of faith is someone who continually speaks out their faith in God, their truth in God, so that they shape or change not only the situation that they're in, but they shape it for the future ahead of them. We were talking a little bit about the governor of Arkansas, how he shaped Arkansas because of one statement that he made for God. We talked about how America has changed because of the one statement that Congress made declaring our nation a year of the Bible, and it totally affected and changed the Bible. We talked about Chief Justice Earl Warren. Did I tell you that one? Mm-mm. Chief Justice Earl Warren, in 1954, he made history change because he said the documents that exhibit the same objectives of this world are written in our Constitution, a Christian land governed by Christian principles. That's what he called America. And he was Chief Justice Earl Warren. 1954, he made that statement, a Christian land governed by Christian principles. And then we heard a little bit about Abraham Lincoln in 1863, makes this large statement that's actually quoting Psalms 33. I want to give you one more of those before I go into the next one that makes you a powerful person. But I want you to, this name we all remember, this name we know, George Washington. In the year 1789, very early stages of our nation, he made this statement. And I know the minute you use quotes from these men in political offices in the past, there's always somebody out there that can come up with the negative and tell you their bad side or their dark side. I get that. We all have a negative. We all probably have a dark side back there. We all got things in our life in the past. Don't speak the negative. See the positive. When George Washington made this statement, it literally changed the focus of our nation. It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and to humbly implore His protection and favor. When he made that statement, from that day forward, every military force that is going to engage in a conflict are requested to have a word of prayer before they go into that conflict. It's on, that's part of the whole, that's from 1789. It continually affects even to this day. Now, the day today is a little different than it is then. Back then, it was an order. Back then, they made them do it. By then, back then, do it. These days, they can't make them, but it is strongly requested. Engage in prayer before you engage in battle. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. It is something that's still said. It's said by the leaders, by the officials. They still have to say it. They still recommend it. They still put it out there because it's become part of our law and our background. It's by faith. Listen, if your faith is in God, God can do more in a moment of time than you can do in a lifetime. Put your faith in God. If your faith is in God, trust Him that He can do what nobody else can. What is impossible for man is possible for God. Trust in God. You, through Christ, you can do all things. Get that down in your heart. Get that in your mind. Start shaping the future of your kids and your grandkids by proclaiming the faith today. Be a powerful person. Shape the future by your faith. Let me go to the third one. Mordecai gave us a great example. He was a person of perseverance. To be a powerful person, you must be a person of perseverance. Don't quit. Things are not always easy for those that seek to live for God. Just because we're Christians doesn't mean we're falling into a bed of roses. It's not. We get the thorn bushes too, right along with it. You know, there may be roses and it's beautiful and it smells good, but there are the thorns that go right along too. It's not easy. I say this all the time to people. Bad stuff happens to good people every single day. The result is what makes the difference. How do you conquer it? How do you get through it? How do you become victorious? How do you stay strong through this? And I want to tell you, when chaos hits, the frustration, what's down in the heart is what comes out of the mouth. Mm-hmm. As they say down in Texas, down there, there's the old country boy one time, he was a preacher. This is not my notes, just giving it to you again. He saw a reaction. I was with him holding revival, and there was a reaction. Somebody got very angry, and it was a man in his church, but they got very angry. And when that anger rose up, man, cuss words just became flying out of his mouth. He just began swearing like crazy. And then he looked at that old country pastor. It was a cowboy church before there ever was a cowboy church. He looked at him, and he said, "I'm sorry, pastor. I shouldn't talk like that." And the pastor looked at him and said, "Well, you know how it goes. Whatever's in the well comes up in the bucket. Whatever's down in that heart's going to come out of that mouth. You know, where do you stand? Persevere through this thing. You have to fight through those urges. If you're living in a world, in a work zone, to where every other word is a cuss word, swear word, and then some tragedy, some chaos happens in your life, the first thing that wants to involuntarily come back into your mind are all those cuss words. Fight through it. Persevere through it. Stay strong. Mordecai was actually living in captivity. He was a slave, and they continually put pressure on him, but he would stand for God. He would stand up for his God, hold on to his heritage of how he was trained. If your only sense of security is, say, yeah, but my grandmother prayed for me every day, then start standing on that and saying, my granny prayed for me. My granny prayed for me. Then I'm going to honor my granny. I'm not giving up. I'm going to honor what my mother said. I'm going to honor the way my daddy was. I'm going to honor what Papa was. I'm going to honor them. Stand your ground. Rely on your heritage. Know where you came from. We are a Christian nation. We are a Christian family. We are Christian-based. Stand that. Persevere through it. Even Mordecai, on one particular occasion, he had to go in. And I love this. You can go back and look at it in chapter 2 of Esther. He was a whistleblower. He went in to the king and said, these two guys are talking bad about you. He was a tattletale. And you go, and he was a man of power and a man of excellence? Yes. He was not a man of power or respect when he went into that king to say, these two guys are talking bad about you behind your back. And, you know, any king could have said, why are you a tattletale? Get out of my face. But he said, they're not just talking about you, king. They are talking to destroy God's kingdom. And I'm going to stand up for God. I'm going to stand up for what God wants. I'm going to stand up for what is right with God. At one point, his people even faced destruction. They were going to wipe out all of the Jews, all of the Israelites from that whole area. And Mordecai said, not without me going kicking and screaming and shouting, and I'm not just going to rant and be negative about everything. You can read it. It's in chapter 3 of Esther. He begins to say, but our God will see us through. Our God will hold us up. Our God will be victorious. Our God will make a way. He began to make it happen. He even had to go into Esther, who was apparently a very beautiful lady. She struck awe in every man's eyes when she walked through. I know I'm in a room with other ladies, and I know there's a lot of ladies listening today, so I'll speak on behalf of the men out there. There are ladies that cause us just to go, wow, wow, that is a very pretty lady. She must have been one of those kinds. She must have been that. But Mordecai, I knew that she was in that place for such a time as this. Come on, y'all. I had to use that at least one time in here. For such a time as this. Mordecai, I used it. This is your time. You have been put there in front of the king for such a time as this. Life was not easy for Mordecai, but however, he was a man of power who recognized who his faith was in, and he kept having to fight through slavery. He had to fight through destruction. He had to fight through extinction. He had to fight for it. And I want to challenge my Christian friends out there today. Fight for your heritage. Come on, if you have fallen away and you're not going to church and you're not praying and you're not reading your Bible, and the only thing that you've got to hang on to is, I used to go to children's church. I used to go to Sunday school. I've been to that church before. I've heard the scripture. If the only verse of scripture that you know is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. If that's all you've got, then you've got the greatest source ever. Hold on to it. Persevere through this. Make it happen. Make it stand strong. There are many examples in our nation. There are many examples throughout the Bible. There are many times where people have been faced with so much conflict, but yet they persevere. They're not quitters. I think about our church out on the hill, out there, First Assembly of God, the one out by I-40, just giving a little plug there, South Randall. I think about that church and how there was a time where the body of church was down on Randall, North Randall, 5th, and the the metal building was their daycare unit, and they were just bussing kids in. And people don't remember the struggle that they had to keep that out there. They had to put patrols out to keep the kids from running and jumping on I-40 and going over and doing that kind of thing. And just the hardship of keeping the structure of that building up. And then they decided to build the building. And the ground out there is, it's a caprock of the hard red shale that's out there to dig the plumbing. They kept breaking the equipment over and over again. Matter of fact, there was a term that came back and said, you're never going to build another big building out here. We can't dig the ditches. We can't do the plumbing. And Brother Gifford said, oh, yes, we will. And he continued to build. We're going to give God glory. And Brother Gifford's testimony of everybody coming and going east or west on I-40, they're going to see the name of God. They're going to see the mark of Christianity. Brother Gifford had the dream of extending those three crosses real high up in the air, because those three crosses tell a story that people don't know about. But there was one unsaved that never made it into the kingdom of God. But there was one that was hanging there that was unsaved, but by a simple word to Jesus, I do believe in you, he became saved and made it into the kingdom. And then the highest one, the mark of Jesus himself, given his grace and his mercy and his life for all who will believe. And you know, just the people passing up and down I-40 see that every single day. It's a great example for us to persevere. They told him those crosses would never hang on that wall. It doesn't have enough support. Well, they've been up there a long time and they're not going anywhere. They're staying right there because it is a man's desire to say, I don't want to just change the circumstance. I want to shift the situation. I want to shift the future. And he was able to make that stance and shift it, becoming a powerful individual. A great person perseveres through the midst of all the trials that are coming against you. A Christian's life has to look back and say, I may be in the middle of a trial, but I'm going to persevere. I'm going to make it. I'll give you a couple of illustrations again through history. Don't know why I'm looking back at that, but I was just doing a little research recently off of something. And did you know that Thomas Edison failed 10,000 times? He marked it in his notes 10,000 different times before he made the light bulb glow, before it glowed any at all. It wasn't like it was 10,000 times to make it glow for a day or whatever. No, he got nothing. 10,000. How many of you would continue to go 10,000 times? I'll give you a little bit, one more up to date. Michael Jordan, greatest NBA player of all time. Michael Jordan, best. Okay, I'm probably going to get some flack about that, but I do believe greatest NBA player of all time. And part of the reason is this, because when he was a sophomore in high school, they said, this boy has absolutely no talent. He will never make it on a team. A junior in high school, they sent him down on the bench and said, you have no talent. Go play baseball. Go do something else. You're not going to make it in basketball. You're tall. You're lanky. You have absolutely no coordination. His senior year in high school, he only played in two games. They said he doesn't have what it takes. But then he was a walk-on in college, and he became the greatest player in NBA because he didn't quit. People kept telling him, you're not going to make it, not going to make it, not going to make it. But he became the greatest player in NBA. He didn't quit. You're going, Pastor, why are you using all these secular ways? Okay, I'll give you one that's more spiritual. Maybe you've heard of Max Licato. I don't know. Either one of you have heard of Max Licato?
Uh-huh.
Well,
Max,
yeah.
Licato, of course.
He's an incredible author, isn't he? Uh-huh. Did you know that he had written over 1,000 books before his first one was ever published?
Oh, my.
And he's an incredible author that all of us cannot get enough of him today. I love to pick up one of his books before I get on an airplane, and I usually can read it before I get to the destination of where I'm going, because it's nonstop. You just turn the pages, man. You just read through that thing. It's incredible. He's a great author, but he didn't quit. There were people that told him, you don't quite qualify. The language is a little different. It's just not acceptable for our society. It doesn't quite fit in. We don't know whether to put you in secular or put you into Christianity. We don't know whether to call you to fiction or fact. And he just kept writing, just like he writes. Don't quit. A person of power is a person who does not quit. It is a person of perseverance.
I got to throw something in here.
Yes, ma'am.
When we started the Hour of Power, and we had several meetings out at your church when Pastor Gifford was there at that church, we worked, prayed, got together with a group of pastors in town for 3 to 6 months before we finally got to start the Hour of Power.
Wow.
And here we are 17 years later.
Yes.
And we've had some changes. Yes.
Gonna change.
But you know, as we've prayed about it, Lord, do we stop? Do we keep going? He always gave us a signal to keep going. We persevered, and we had some pastors that believed in it. And, you know,
and how many lives have we shaped towards the kingdom of God because we persevered through everything that's there? Mm-hmm. Let me give you one more and I'll be done.
Okay.
It won't take me long at all. It's the power of courage. We have to be a person of courage. We have to take those steps of faith that make a difference. And I'm going to take you back to Esther chapter 3, verse number 2. All the king's servants who were with the king's gate, they bowed and they paid homage to this man called Haman. Haman put it into the protocol, said, you got to bow. You got to bow before me. When I pass before you, you got to bow. When the king passes before you, you got to bow. And Mordecai said, I'm not doing that. I don't bow before any man. I'm only going to bow before my God. I'm not going to bow before this. And they said, well, they'll have to kill you. And Mordecai said, they won't kill me. I'm going to stand for my God. It is an incredible book. And Mordecai just continued to stay there. Even when they came back at him and said, they're going to kill you. They're going to cut your head off. He said, no, I'm not either. I'm going to give my glory to God. Think about it. Noah built an ark. David faced a giant. Daniel went to the lion's den. Peter walked on water. John was in prison on the Isle of Patmos. What can you do? Will you take courage today and take a stand for your God? Will you start today by being a person of power and have the courage to persevere with your faith by being a servant with everybody around you? Can you be a person of power today? Let me pray for you and we'll conclude. Father God, I thank you so much for giving us examples in your word that we can look to those examples and we can say, thank you, God. If he can do it, I can do it. If she can do it, I can do it. If they can do it, we can do it. God, thank you for giving us those examples over and over again. God, we want to be people of power, not to get prestige or to get honor, or to get our name up in lights. We want to be people of power that can shape other people around us for the future, that can shape our future to welcome our kids and their kids and their kids. God, can we be a people of power today that follow you with our whole heart? Well, I pray today, Lord, for that one individual that's thinking about quitting, help them to persevere. I pray today, Lord, for that one person who is so shy and so scared that they can't step up. God, I pray you give them the courage today. Father, I pray for that person that is confused in the midst of chaos, that they really don't know what they're standing for, but may you give them the faith in that one true God that moves them from where they are to where you want them to be. And Father, I pray today for those people that have become complacent, allowing other people to serve and wait on them instead of getting out and serving other people. God, help them today to begin to be the servant of God, that we may all be the powerful people that God wants us to be in this kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. One of the comments that came in was from Monica. She couldn't be here this morning, but she's been watching. It says, when things look like they're falling apart, I know they're falling into place. We don't That's walk good. By sight. We walk by faith.
That's it. That girl is amazing.
This has been the hour of power, and as Monica always says, it is the most powerful hour of my day. I want to be sure and recognize her for that. It is when I can't be here. Most of the time, I'm listening or watching myself. We appreciate you tuning in. From me, Neva, from Tina, from Pastor Kevin. Have a blessed day. We will see you back in here tomorrow.
Let us pray. Let us pray.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.